The Spirit of the Titanic, written by Nicola Pierce and read by Ruairi Conaghan. My wish had come true. How I longed to be able to share my news with Ed, Charlie and Jack, but I couldn't. The three of them stood side by side, with David, my replacement, in the crowd, as Titanic prepared to pull away from Belfast to begin her maiden voyage. It was all very thrilling, and I found myself much carried away by the party atmosphere on board and on the docks below, waving gaily along with everyone else, in spite of myself, but, of course, my friends could neither see nor hear me. Nobody could. The world hadn't ended or even changed much since I smashed up my skull that day, though Charlie's dark hair went grey in the weeks after my fall. He was the only one to look properly sad, telling Ed that he blamed himself for not coming down the ladder to grab a hold of me. Ed was his usual practical self.
You can't say that, Charlie. No way. It wasn't your fault. If you'd reached him, he might have taken you with him. It's just one of those things. When your time is up, that's it.
Charlie didn't sound comforted by this. His voice wavered as he tried to get Ed to understand.
But you didn't see his face, Ed. He was scared, more than scared. It was like he could see something dreadful. He called out to me and I did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Ed refused to be drawn any further. He kept it to himself that he felt I had simply been daydreaming as usual and missed my footing. He didn't want to fall out with his friend. I was quickly replaced by a skinny 16-year-old who was no way near as fast as I was. On his first day, Ed nobly held his tongue, while Charlie coldly informed a bewildered-looking David that he had big shoes to fill. After that, Charlie's only conversation with the boy was to shout at him from time to time.
Watch your bloody step, why don't you?
Within a week or two, the others returned to their usual ways. Ed went back to his jovial bullying of Jack, who smilingly refused to be moved one way or the other. The four of them continued to meet every morning before the gates opened, and then, once over the threshold, they made their way to where I was waiting for them, to watch them at their day's work. I wanted to tell Charlie that I was okay, that he shouldn't feel sad for me. But I couldn't. I mean, I tried talking to him, whispering directly into his ear, but he could never hear me. Once or twice, however, he would stop what he was doing to look slowly about him, as if, perhaps, sensing I was there. This made Ed very nervous, and the older man had to fight the urge to shout at Charlie to keep hammering.